بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. The Madrasa Ta'lim al-Din has prepared not so long ago certain common errors in wudu which we will discuss today. Alhamdulillah, in the last two or three weeks we have explained certain pertinent aspects containing or pertaining to wudu and the faraid of wudu were discussed. The method of wudu was also discussed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that wudu is the key to salah and salah is the key to jannah. The validity of our salah depends on the wudu. If the wudu is invalid, then salah will also be invalid. If the wudu is valid but not done according to the sunnah, then salah performed with such a wudu will not earn one the complete reward promised in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As one hadith explains, then some people perform salah, some get the full reward, some get half the reward, some get quarter, and like that it diminishes and it decreases depending on the tahara of the person, the khushu, the khudu, the different etiquette, sunan that a person fulfills, his dressing, etc., whatever else goes with it, and how he performs that salah, accordingly he will get reward. So we are focusing on wudu and how a person makes wudu. So often there are 10 mistakes that people make when it comes to wudu. The first is, at the beginning of wudu, one should recite Bismillah walhamdulillah. There are many du'as to recite while washing one's hands, gargling the mouth, putting water into the nostrils, washing the face. Mufti Ibrahim Salehji of Escort, Dawan Barakatuh, has recorded this in his book, famous book, on sunnats. All the various du'as are there. But at the very least, when commencing with wudu, one should read this du'a, Bismillahi walhamdulillah, never leave it out. Because as long as a person remains in the state of wudu, then the angels which protect him are commanded to continuously record good deeds for him. So that's the first thing. Not just to be hasty, to make sure we read the dua. The second thing is that we should not leave out the miswak. We should not leave out the miswak. In fact, in the US, they have actually did research on the miswak. They have studied the miswak. Pharmaceutical companies abroad have also studied the miswak and taken it to the labs for further studies. And even in Riyadh also, in the university, Islamic university, they have done studies on the miswak, and all of them have confirmed the antibacterial qualities that are contained in the miswak, which assists with eradicating those germs that cause gum disease, etc. So all this is recorded as well. Nevertheless, we don't rely on science. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought the sunnah and said that Allah Ta'ala emphasized it, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to use the miswak before sleeping, when waking up, coming for salah, and so many virtues have been attached to using the miswak. Why then should we leave out the miswak when we are making wudu? It just costs a few rands. So let us make a point of using the miswak when we are performing the wudu. This is before gargling the mouth. A person will use the miswak from right to left on the teeth and in up and down motion on the tongue. That salah that is performed after using the miswak is 70 times superior to the salah performed without miswak. So the second point is miswak. Third point is washing the face. It is a fard of wudu. Make sure that we don't close our eyes so tight when making wudu that the water doesn't reach the skin. So we make sure that the water reaches the entire facial area from the hairline till beneath the chin. Beneath the chin, if we touch here, you feel the jawbone. So this flesh that is jutting out is the chin. The water has to reach right till here. But this is very important. Also, this finger space between the sideburns or the beard and the ear, that has to be wet when a person is making wudu, especially if a person has a big beard, to make sure that the water goes behind that and covers that area as well. So that is important. That is the third point. The fourth point is making sure the elbows are washed when we're washing our arms. And when we're washing the feet, the heels and the ankles are also washed. None of this should remain dry. While we may think that this is common knowledge, obvious, all it takes is for a person to do a practical check. We have found with students that they will learn this, they will memorize it, they will write it in the exam, but do it practically and then you see the elbows are dry. You actually see the elbows are dry and left out. So make sure that we check on ourselves. It's very pleasing to note some people actually after wudu, they will look at their arms to see if the arms are nice and wet. All it requires is a person to rub his arm thoroughly. Number five is, when washing the arms, you must commence from the fingers, not from the wrists. Because the arm starts from the finger till beyond the elbow. When washing the feet, start from the toes and move up to the ankles. This is the sunnah method of washing the arms and washing the feet. Don't start from the elbows or don't start from the ankles. It's a simple point, but many people have formed the habit of doing it their way. Well, there is no our way, there is the only the sunnah way. From the fingers up to the elbows, from the toes to the ankles. So that is the fifth point. And the sixth point is making masa of a quarter of the head is farz and the entire head is sunnah. So don't just suffice on the farz amount. Some people don't want to remove their topi, for example. They just do this much and they carry on with their wudu. So it became a habit now. You just make masa like that and you continue. So make masa of the entire head, especially people that are concerned of their hairstyles. Then the hairstyle is not important when a person is making wudu. One must make sure that the isti'ab takes place. He encompasses the head and he's not just placing the tips of his fingers. Sometimes a woman just places the tip of the fingers. The entire hand must touch the hair and the head. So the entire head should be covered when it comes to a masah. That is number six. Number seven, one should adhere to the sunnah method of masah. Taking both hands, passing them over the entire head from the front towards the back of the head. We said that is the easy method of masah. Placing the hands on the head and drawing it right till the back. The other method we learnt when we were small, the three-finger method, that if a person knows, he can do it. But the easy, simple method that comes in the kitabs also is to place all the fingers on the head and to draw it back to the back of the head. So that is the seventh point. The eighth point is not to leave out khilal of the beard and khilal of the fingers and khilal of the toes. Khilal of the beard is after washing the face. Person takes some water and in this manner makes khilal of the beard on all sides. And khilal of the fingers after washing the arms, a person will pass the fingers of the left hand over the right hand and the right hand over the left hand. That is one method, or the other method is to intertwine the fingers. And khilal of the toes by using the baby finger of the left hand and after washing the right foot, then khilal of the right foot toes will be made from the baby toe till the big toe. After washing the left foot, then khilal of the left foot toes will be made from the big toe till the small toe. It shouldn't be after the wudu making khilal of all the toes once. After each foot, khilal should be made. So that is point number eight. Point number nine is do not waste water while making wudu. Wasting water at the time of wudu is a sin and causes the perfection and quality of salah to be compromised. Here we can all, inshallah, try to work on this. We are making wudu from a tap. Then try and work on this. Often because of rushing, then we don't get the opportunity to do it. But now and again, use a jug, use a container. Now and again, when we have time, sufficient time, then we can learn how to do it, inshallah, from a jug and from a container. And also when we are using a tap, also get into the habit of closing the tap. Because Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made wudu with very little water. We have become accustomed to the water flowing over our limbs. And that is why when we have to conserve water, then we find it very difficult because we don't get that effect mentally. We are disturbed because we feel like our wuzu is incomplete. But rather, the time of Sahaba, they would take water in their hands and sort of rub on their arms, and some drops would fall from there. So even with the face, even when it comes to the feet, we are putting our feet under the shower spray or under the tap that is flowing, and so we get used to that. So now when someone takes 100 mils of water and pours over and rubs, we feel like we're not washing our feet, but actually it is in the rule of washing the feet. As Mufti Sahab explained also, that at least in the first time a person must rub thoroughly, so the entire limb is moist. Now the second time when you're washing, it flows easily. The water flows all over. So that is the ninth point. And the last point is, do not speak of worldly affairs while making wudu. This is makruh. This is another mistake that is made during wudu. Wudu is an ibadah, but sometimes we are speaking to our friends, we are having long conversations, and we are neglecting many, many aspects in the wudu. So just to speak also of worldly matters while making wudu, this is makruh and disliked. We should learn the sunnahs of wudu and make sure we do not leave out any sunnah of wudu. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we can do it correctly. Inshallah, in the last few minutes that we have, 5 minutes or so, we will look at some of the aspects that Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has discussed in his beautiful kitab, Beheshti Zewar. Maulana says, if some dough or similar substance got stuck under the nails and it got dried and water did not reach there, wuzu will not be complete. Any substance like paint, for example, that gets stuck on one's limb and it can be removed, and a person does not remove it and makes wudu, then the wudu will be invalid. He has to remove that, whatever it is that is stuck there, and then wash that area, then only will the wudu be complete. Likewise, we have mentioned about the paint. If it is something where water can flow through it, for example, they explain like ink, normal pen ink. If a person gets some pen marks on his skin, they say that doesn't invalidate the wudu, the water does reach the skin. But if it's something that is preventing the water, for example, glue, person was working with glue now, and the glue dried, and then he made wudu, then his wudu will not be accepted, will not be complete. If one made wudu for a particular salah, and thereafter the next salah time entered and the wuzu did not break, there is no problem with him reading the salah with the same wudu that he had from before. If a person does repeat his wudu, he will be greatly rewarded. The ulama have written that if a person hasn't performed any ibadah with his wudu, it will be makruh to make a new wudu without making any ibadah. But if he made some form of ibadah with that wudu, and then he repeats the wudu, then he will be greatly rewarded for making a new wudu. For example, if he just read 2 rakats of salah with the first wudu, then there is no problem in making a second wudu, and he will be rewarded for making that wudu. We explain about the chin. Sometimes you don't think about it, but the chin goes right till the jawbone under. So this entire area must be wet, the chin must be wet, especially if it can be seen. It is farz to wash that part of the lips which can be seen when the lips are closed. So that forms also part of the face. If the hair of the beard, moustache and eyebrows is so thick that the skin cannot be seen, then it is not farz to wash the skin that is beneath it, rather the hair takes place of the skin, and now it is farz to wash the hair that is next to that skin, over that part of the beard that is over the skin. We explain this also. If it's a thin beard and the skin can be seen, then the water must reach till the skin. Some interesting maslas here. Last one, two maslas and we conclude. If a person falls off to sleep in salah, if a man, for example, falls off to sleep in salah, falls off to sleep in sajda. So for a man, his wudu, his salah won't break. But for a woman, because of the position that she goes into sajda, pressing herself and constricting her body, then for a woman, they say the woman's wudu salah will break. But the man's wudu salah won't break. But if a person falls off to sleep in salah, and while he is in the sleep in the salah, he happens to laugh. Normally laughing in salah, person laughs aloud, then his wuzu breaks, salah breaks. The person laughs aloud, then his wuzu and his salah will break. He'll have to go and make a new, refresh his wuzu. But if a person is laughing while asleep, it will not break. So that's one interesting masla to note, that a person, when he's performing salah, if he laughs loud, that then his wuzu will break, so he'll have to repeat his wuzu. And if he's asleep, then his wuzu will not break if it's in salah, and if he laughs while he's asleep in the salah, his wuzu will not break. That's just for information purposes. Incidentally, 1-2 weeks ago, this question came, where one person was saying, Mufti sahab, I don't know what to do. Every time I start my salah, I feel like laughing, bursting out and laughing. So what must I do? Because it's a problem. Person is awake, conscious, and he's laughing in salah, his wuzu is going to break. So what should I do? Then Mufti sahab advised him how to control his thoughts, control his mind when he's reading his salah. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq to it.